anomalies are conclusive proof that cocaine rips on Instagram exist. In a podcast, it is real and solid as those we already know about. Welcome to Four Seasons in a Funeral, the podcast about and one bad one. Today we're talking about Season 3, Episode 9 of the next evolution of science fiction, Primeval, titled. I'm Charlie, and I'm joined by Nick Uwu.
What the fuck is a cocaine rip, dude?
So,
what are you talking about?
An NHL player on the Arizona Coyotes was placed on waivers for unconditional waivers for the purpose of contract termination. After, on an Instagram live video, he posted a video of himself doing cocaine rips.
Oh my lord!
As you do on Instagram while you're, you know, that is going to be seen by other people who know about your job. Oops.
Cocaine is still illegal, my friends. You cannot be doing that for clout.
Yeah, don't.
I know
don't
people
do that.
Are very chill about some drugs, but it is still illegal.
But also, particularly if you're an athlete, it's a real bad look.
Putting drugs into your system?
It's a real bad look to put drugs into your system. Like, CEO does this, and, like, it's gonna get, like, kind of like hush hush after like a little bit of, or people are gonna be like, it's fine, that was expected.
It's like, but just don't do it publicly. Cocaine is a huge problem in the NHL. A lot of guys do cocaine.
Just do a Joffrey loophole
again.
Get rookies hooked on it and get blacklisted by the organization.
You just can't be posting about it because, again, it is still an illegal drug. Amazing.
Audience.
Truly amazing.
Despite the fact that, you know, we're probably on some form of a CSIS watch list because of just topics that we've brought up, notice how we typically don't, like, just confess to crimes while we're, you know, recording and putting something on the internet.
I have never broken the law. Thank you very much.
That's,
I am a law-abiding citizen.
You know what, David? You're right. We are on recording.
True pride and patriotism for Canada. When I was younger, my parents asked me if I, like, wanted to go do, like, a summer camp in China. When I was like in middle school and elementary school, and I straight up told them, no, I still want to keep my career options open for working at the government. And I think going to a summer camp in China would remove that option for me.
It wouldn't remove it, but it would certainly make it harder. And you wouldn't get the same, you certainly wouldn't get the same clearance initially.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just, like, I'd like to keep my options open about working for the Canadian government. So, no, thank you. I would not like to go to China for 3 months and just, like, be there. I'm sure it'd be fine. I'm also sure that's sus as fuck.
It's somehow worse that you're going there for a camp instead of me.
Yeah, well, that's specifically why. They, like, it was a summer camp they were selling me on, and I'm like,
That's gonna look really bad. They wouldn't be going either. Communist China.
Yeah, they'd just be sending me by myself to China for 3 months, and I'm like, no, thank you. Yeah. I'm 12, and even I can tell that sounds sus as fuck. Like,
really sounds like you go there and you come back being called your Chinese name and nothing else. Because
no, it sounds like I come back as a fucking agent for China, like.
Your dad does something, you're like, father, the great leader would look poorly upon this.
Well, wasn't there the fucking liberal politician that literally got in trouble for this? I feel like I was following something like this where I was like, I was completely validated in my concerns. Like, there was, in the last election, there was an MP who got elected who, like, sweeped his, poll or something. And then it came out, the conservatives put out like a hit piece on him saying like he spent all this time in China as a teenager and like as a kid. And like, obviously he's a Chinese agent. And I was just like watching this going, huh, this is exactly what I was afraid of.
There is a news piece about liberals ignored CSIS warning on 2019 candidate accused in Chinese interference.
Yep. MP.
Han Dong, then a former Ontario MP.
While we're on the topic of politics, do you guys see the woman who got arrested in Russia for treason after donating $51 to a
Yep.
$51!
To be fair, Russia is at war with the Ukraine. I just, from an, like, not even an optics perspective, just from a common sense perspective, maybe don't do that in a way that it could be tracked to you.
Yes.
Like, if it, like, there are circumstances, like, for relief or stuff where you can, like, definitely donate against your government's policy, but they're literally at war. Like, I don't know if there's, like, a worse thing for governments to be at for you to, like, be supporting the other government in any way.
it's definitely a really bad look.
Like, not even a bad look. Like, that's, like, it's just, could be argued to be, like, straight-up treason, right?
That's what's being argued.
I'm just like, by definition, kinda, yeah, you fucked up. Like, I don't think, like, I don't agree with this, but I just mean, like, from a common sense perspective, come on.
Yeah.
At least have done it through crypto or something, like.
Yeah, or just, like, yeah, just make it anonymous, please.
Or give it to a friend out of country and then they donate it, like, just...
Because, like, man, it's, like...
Literally at war.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you need to say. Literally at war with the country. You can't be doing that. Especially under a fascist government. Like, come on.
Yeah. Especially, like... also, just bad timing with the whole Navalny thing of just, like, listen, like...
They're arresting everyone.
Yeah, no, not, yeah, bad time.
It's bad over there. Yeah.
TPO, come on, TPO, time, place, and occasion. This is not a good time, not a good place, not a good occasion to be doing this.
Just, like, I saw that.
By,
like,
all means, fight against a fascist government. I encourage you to do so. Do it safely and in a way that allows you to continue the fight.
So here's the thing.
Just do it intelligently, well.
Yeah. So, like, when I initially saw the headline for it, all I saw was, like, arrested for treaty, like, didn't tie in the amount at all headline. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, damn. All right. You know what? Fair enough. It was probably it's probably a fairly large donation, got, like, noticed sort of thing. It's like, nope, that is not even $100.
Like, come on. If you're gonna go to jail, at least have it been worth something, right?
It's a real shame. Like, is that enough? Like, that's not even... That's... In the US, is that a felony to, like, steal that much from, like, a store? Like, $51? Like, I forget what the number is where all of a sudden it becomes a felony.
Would it even be a felony? I think that's a misdemeanor.
It's just a misdemeanor, right? That's just theft, yeah.
Larceny starts, I want to say, at a couple thousand. Grand larceny, 5,000 and over? No, I haven't looked up my felony amount.
500 to 1,000 is grand larceny in Canada.
Really? That's it?
Yep.
That needs to be adjusted for inflation.
They should be able to steal at least $1,000, Charlie.
$500, like, for a family of five, that's one shopping trip at Loblaws.
That is like nothing.
Yeah, it's very upsetting.
Because Loblaws is out of control.
Yeah.
You love that subreddit, dude.
Shout out to our Loblaws is out of control.
Speaking of very specific, like, Ontario nonsense, have either of you watched Law and Order Toronto yet?
No. Sorry, don't you mean Law and Order Toronto Criminal Intent? Because it needs two subtitles.
I watched the first episode right after D&D on Thursday. And, oh my god, was it so Canadian. Like...
Is it Tim's? Do they go to a Tim's?
No, they don't go to a Tim's. They're avoiding brands and stuff. But, like, just, like, watching the original Law & Order, I'm like, Law & Order isn't that New York, right? Or, like, it's not.
Sorry, I'm reading the storyline blurb for episode one.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
A cryptocurrency kingpin is found dead. The team has to find where the missing crypto coins have disappeared to. That's exactly what I expect out of Law and Order, though.
It's so good. He gets poisoned and pushed off a boat in Lake Ontario, and they had to do an entire thing about trying to figure out where the body should wash up in Lake Ontario, and they keep bringing up the Coriolis effect and how the tides work. And then straight up, one of the detectives goes, oh, right, there was that huge storm, last night? probably changed the tide so it went clockwise instead of counterclockwise. Just like dying laughing.
Oh man.
And they find a pamphlet for like a chartered airplane company that flies out of Toronto Island, like Billy Bishop, and they're like, oh man, yeah, that flies out of the island. And they just say that like straight up without any explanation. I'm like, this is, oh god, you don't understand this if you don't understand, like, it's so specific. Like, I feel like they went over, especially, I don't, maybe it's just the first episode, but man, did it feel so specific. They're talking to the lawyer, like, because it's Law and Order, right? So they always have, like, the prosecutor or whatever.
They have the law side and the order side.
Yeah, and they're talking and trying to sell, like, hey, we think this is the conviction. And the person's like, listen, I'm a Crown prosecutor. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, really? You have to specifically say Crown prosecutor because you're Canadian? I get it. Like,
yes, David, they must get it right.
And they were standing in front of, like, the courthouse in Toronto, and just all the blue street signs and everything. And I'm just like, oh, man.
I'm waiting for the episode where a criminal gets away because traffic is so bad on Dundas because of the Leafs game.
Ooh.
Can we get a betting pool for episode concepts we think Law & Order Toronto is going to have?
They're bringing up the fact that they just found an indigenous burial ground, right?
They're writing that episode as we speak. There's gotta be an indigenous episode. Probably multiple, but there's gotta be at least one indigenous episode. There's gotta be an episode, like as Charlie said, about traffic because of a Leafs or a Jays game or something.
But they will simplify that to the game.
Yeah. The game, and they'll just show people with blue caps on. Like, because you don't need to show which team it is.
You're going to have white collar crime of some variety. Well, no, this is all
that was
like,
this.
All
that was the first episode. That was crypto. Like,
oh, fair enough.
It turns out it's a Ponzi scheme. Oh, sorry. But spoilers, David, for the first episode of Law & Order Toronto.
But David, did they bring up the bridal path?
Excuse you, David.
This.
Law & Order Toronto criminal intent.
Sorry. Yeah. But
because maybe
out...
they'll do an SVU and we can hear about all the rape in Toronto.
Oh, God. Oh, no. David, did they bring up the bridal path, though? I need to know.
They haven't brought up the bridal path yet.
That's coming up, right? Like, that's...
Yes, 100%. That's going to come up. It's,
they got to like, it's the like, Beverly Hills of... Or I don't fucking know. It's the, like... Billionaires Row of Toronto. I don't know. What do you want to?
I've thoroughly enjoyed it, but man, did watching that hurt me sometimes. Like, there were so many times I'm just like, ah.
Now we're gonna have to watch this shitty TV. We're gonna have to give Dick Wolf my attention.
It's so good. You gotta. It's so good.
Charlie, you just gotta hold out, and then, like, maybe they cancel it after 5 seasons. Maybe.
we're not gonna be doing 5 seasons of Law & Order. There's only so much I can handle.
If Law & Order Toronto gets 5 seasons, they cancel it, we have to do it. What do you mean?
Exactly.
Like, we feel like we're, like, obligated to.
Like, dude, I don't know what to tell you, but it's gonna happen.
Oh my god, there needs to be one of the witnesses. It has to be a dude like stocking shelves at a Loblaws or something. Like, they gotta be like at a grocery store talking to a guy as he stocks shelves.
Yeah, what else could they do? What's very stereotypical?
Guy gets run over by streetcar.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Subway crime.
Can we have cyclists killed by like either transit or car?
And then they do an investigation and went, no, he just didn't obey the streetcar signs and deserved to get hit.
Oh, you're right. They do have to be streetcar apologists. That would be
the end result is that man deserved to die. And the streetcar prosecute.
The streetcar made its little bell ding ding sound and he didn't hear it and didn't get out of the way.
That's there because he had headphones like, in. The worst there, kind of person.
There were a lot of on-location shots, which were cool, of, like, the City Hall and Nathan Phillips Square. So, like,
dude,
that was cool,
but,
like...
Oh, no! They're gonna have the in-universe mayor get into an affair scandal. A sex scandal.
The Rob Ford episode!
No, not the Rob Ford episode!
Sorry. The Greenbelt investigation episode will happen season 3.
Yeah.
We do need cocaine mayor as well.
Oh my god, you're so right. Watching Law and Order after so long, it's I can't believe they still do like the non-ironically.
Oh yeah.
I couldn't handle it. Every time they changed locations, and there's a location card and it just went dun dun, and I'm just like, oh god, they're for real though. Like,
this is just actually what they do. David, I will say the on location shots are fantastic. I don't know if either of you guys ever watched Flashpoint, but that show was also in Toronto.
Yeah, but Flashpoint wasn't set in Toronto, was it?
It was set in Toronto.
Okay. Flashpoint was a weird show.
Flashpoint Toronto, was a very weird show.
Anytime Toronto just gets to be Toronto, I love it.
Flashpoint was cool because they filmed right beside where I grew up for one of the episodes. They filmed in enough places that I don't mind saying that as well. I was walking home from school one day and just got to like wave at and say hi to a bunch of because they were just filming.
I just want to share with you the opening shot of Law and Order Toronto.
Is it a CN Tower? Gotta be the CN Tower, right? Yes.
Holy shit.
Yes.
On a yacht on Lake Ontario
with the CN Tower in the background. This is the opening shot of Law and Order Toronto.
22 seconds in. Beautiful.
Oh, someone's gonna get killed in the ROM or killed in Ripley's aquarium.
Someone's gonna get pushed off CN Tower. Come on.
No, someone's impaled at the very top of CN Tower and they gotta be like, how did he do? No, that's a different.
That's too much.
Wait a second.
That would be a Fringe was set in Toronto.
That's a Castle episode.
Oh, Castle's so good though as well.
Except for the part where
when she leaves.
Yeah, and they have and they to be like
to
oh,
try
yeah.
and keep Castle going for some reason.
This serial killer is threatening you.
What is that? Flashpoint?
That's Flashpoint.
I'll add it to the list.
I had to look it up because it's also it's the right era of TV. It was released from 2008 to 2012.
Okay, we should talk about Primeval, I guess.
Should we?
Yeah.
What if we convert to just being a Law & Order Toronto criminal intention podcast?
We could start a second podcast, David, if you want, where we review every episode of Law & Order Toronto up to and including the season 5 finale. But nothing past that.
Nothing past that. That's very important.
If it makes it to season 5, it ends at season 5 for us.
Yeah, we're like, man, I can't believe how many cliffhangers they're not resolving here at the end of this season. It's crazy.
I just want to make it clear that I will be watching every episode of Law & Order Toronto Criminal Intent. So audience, please look forward to my reviews of that show during Forsap. My unrelated reviews of another television show.
I'm so glad that we have an additional starting segment, not just what have we been up to, which by the way, not a lot, because we've just ignored that today.
What have you guys? I haven't been up to anything. I'm buying a desk tomorrow. I spent like $300. It's too much. You guys been up to?
I went to the cottage last weekend. It was great. Outside of that, not too much.
Played a lot of Shapes, and then I got to the point in Shapes where they're like, hey, you like logic gates, right? You like building a mini computer in a video game, right? And I went, nope, I'm done.
You got to like the wire, like stage.
Yeah, I got to free play, and then they're like, hey, make a make everything machine. And I'm starting to like sketch it out in my head, like, okay, if I do it like this, and then I realized how much work it's gonna be, and I just went, I'm gonna go play bowling in Yakuza 0 and be happy. And then I did that and I was happy.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I've just been playing more Yakuza. They're very fun games. I finally did the Miracle Johnson sub-story with special guest star Steven Spinning. They're definitely not Steven Spielberg and Michael Jackson. For legal reasons, they're not Steven Spielberg
legally
and Michael Jackson.
Distinct.
Yes. Miracle Johnson is a world-famous pop star who is in Japan filming a music video featuring zombies. And he does a whole lot of eccentric leg kicks and woos, but he's not Michael Jackson. Very fun games. Play all the Yakuza. They're very fun, and you will cry.
I mean, also, you don't have that much time. Don't do that. Play a different game series that has that is easier, like the Atelier series.
Don't do that.
What do you mean?
Don't do that. Don't become a degenerate.
Whoa, there's nothing degenerate about the Atelier series.
If I Google Atelier series, what is gonna? How do I even spell it? Let me look at. Gotta go cowards. To David's Steam profile. Go to his recently played games.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh no,
17 of them.
Oh no.
And you and I both know that at least.
No.
No.
I've 100%ed 4 of these games. To okay. be fair, you can see that Atelier, like the Mysterious Trilogy, Atelier Sophie, Fieris, and Lind and Syl had remasters, DX editions. So those kind of don't count, right?
Okay, so I Googled Atelier, and this is one of the images that popped up. And like, yeah, Thideology and all that shit.
That's not fair, though. That's Ryza. Ryza was a complete change for the series.
That's cutting circulation off to her legs.
Ryza those, was a change for the series.
Those pants are so small and so tight, I don't think they even qualify as underwear.
Before Ryza, the series was not as horny. Ryza was the start of the horny, I would argue.
I would argue that those pants are acting like a...
Ryza was the start of the horny and also the start of Atelier selling way more copies with every game. Ryza also, was so popular. So typically the Atelier series was like sets of 3 games that had different protagonists and was like semi-related, but mostly you had a new main character every time. Ryza was so popular that instead they just did Ryza 2 and Ryza 3. Like, Ryza was so popular, it broke the game conventions. Like, the series conventions.
Alright, shall we get into Primeval?
Oh yeah, we talk about a TV show called Primeval.
This is such a bad episode.
This episode is called Herd Logic, and yes, I have heard of Logic, and the TV guide reads, a mysterious woman from the future arrives as the team tries to prevent a dangerous stampede of gigantic rhinoceros lum through an anomaly. Sure, I guess. I guess that's what happens this episode. Never mind that they start the stampede.
Yep.
Like, Connor is the direct cause for the stampede. But you know what? Sure. Sure, TV Guide. I'll give this one to you.
I think this is my least favorite episode of Primeval to date.
Really? More than the one you gave a 0 to?
Yes.
That one he gave a 0 to because he was required to, though. He'd already, past David had already told him he had to.
Yes, also correct. But straight up, this is my least favorite episode of Primeval. All
right, I put a 0 in just in advance.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't know what's going on, but these last 2 episodes, and I understand this episode, like, sound design was okay, but like, there's some weird sound design happening in these last couple episodes, and I'm noticing it was like actually annoying me.
The editing for this show has also taken a downhill turn, just in general. Like their editing and direction in general is also just off now. Like, there were so many shots where I'm like, why are you filming it like this?
it's also so like, this is like just sort of like we've already sort of discussed this, but it like hit me during this episode. Where I was like, okay, if I think back to the start of this series, and it's like the big characters that, and it's Nick Cutter, Steven, and...
But they're literally all gone.
They're all
like,
gone.
It's just Connor and Abby, who were always just like the side tag along, like audience surrogates anyways.
Exactly.
And now they're trying to make them like the main characters. And I'm like, I don't give a shit about either of them. Primeval writers, you guys are cowards. Why are they so fucking awkward? They made out in the last episode. Yeah, and now you've done like a semi-reset? Like, what is happening?
The episode opens with her bringing Rex over to have a little play date with Sid and Nancy. And then him being like, oh, can they move back in? And then completely dances around like, hey, can I move back in?
Hey, I know we kissed and like we said we love each other, but... the writers realize they have to milk this continuously.
Yeah,
still.
They got another season after this one. We kind of got to milk this.
But they didn't. They got canceled. They didn't know they were being saved. Like,
I know.
I think they didn't know they had another season after this.
I think they were saving it for the finale. I think they went, ah, that's done. Shit, there's another episode? Oh, fuck. We can't have their relationship officially start yet. That's the finale thing. But yeah, it's
either
just,
way, it's bad.
There was a nice moment early on where Danny's on the phone with Lester and obviously doing illegal things, and Lester knows he's doing illegal things because he's surveying the military base as he watches them bring in the future woman. But like, Lester has trust in the team now, and that actually comes across. Like, his and Danny's chemistry is, dare I say, good from a, like, at least performance perspective.
Yeah.
Which is nice to see.
Of course, Lester would like the fucking blood-hearted cop. Like, I don't like Danny, and I don't like that Lester likes Danny is my problem.
Yeah, like
they
my
have
thing
not
is...
done anything to redeem Danny in my eyes. They have just tried to make him, like, part of the team, and, like, he was a bad guy in his first episode, and you have not done anything to, like, resolve him being a bad guy.
So, like, I'm gonna be real, when he's calling when Lester's calling Danny and we see Danny in the boilers being like, don't worry, I was 100% on the side of, oh wait, Danny's going back to being a little bit, he's found something out, like his now long lost brother, and he's gonna go through one of these portals, like
he hasn't mentioned his brother once since he's joined the team.
It's insane. Like, oh man, what an insane, how do you bring him in? I understand that he's supposed to be Cutter's replacement, and Cutter, the entire point of Cutter,
I don't even think he's
was...
a Cutter replacement at this point. Cutter's no, replacement he's, is he's a Connor. He's a Steven replacement.
Yeah, and he's worse Steven somehow.
No, he's a Cutter replacement. The Steven replacement is Becker.
But Becker isn't a character. Like, Becker's
just
right.
Some Becker
dude.
Is a nice hair and a shotgun.
Becker's the fucking Captain Drake replacement, the guy who died in the end going like, oh, it was me.
It was me all along.
Cutter, I died in the past.
Oh, I was the sacrifice.
I was the bishop the whole time.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, no, Danny's 100% supposed to be the Steven replacement in that he's like the person who's more military thought process and being the more man of action, which was always what Steven did. Connor's supposed to be the science guy, and Cutter's role has been split between him and Egyptologist woman.
Sarah.
Like, that's Cutter's role was split between them. And then I don't know where the fuck Claudia Brown's role went. They just threw that in the trash.
They don't need PR anymore. It's fine.
And like Lester, they just like
Quinn.
They moved Lester directly into like being the team wrangler, which I think is also suffering for Lester. Like Lester was supposed to be the boss that was in charge of everyone, he's supposed to be like in charge of things, but now he's just like another dumbass on the team, like going along with Connor's nonsense and letting Connor fucking eat his like important invitations and not doing anything about it. I'm just like, I don't like the dynamics.
Yeah, Lester was a better character when he was the stuffy government bureaucrat who said no at every turn, and like Claudia had to kind of work around it and see the value in the people. And then every now and then you can give him his he's a human being moment, but still keep him as like a side antagonist, or at least a plot factor where it's like, oh, why are we doing these training exercises again? Oh, well, Lester said us to, and that's your plot.
Not even like an antagonist, just like a plot. Or like a roadblock in the plot, right? Like just to have like some sort of friction amongst the team.
A speed bump, yeah.
Well, because now it's just like, especially with the way like these episodes start now, of them rushing off, like it feels so dumb and monster of the week. Where like season one and two of Primeval felt more like a mystery kind of show. Where like there was a weird anomaly and the team had to solve like, what was going on with it? We're following the clues. We're using deductive reasoning to figure out what kind of creature has slipped in and what's going on. And like, they're kind of like scrappy and not like that well funded. And they're trying to like work against their like parameters. And now they just rush off. They're like fucking superheroes or like fucking Power Rangers. They get the phone call and they're like, oh, let's go, everyone, military, and solve the problem. Like, it's not interesting.
Which is an insane counterpoint of how to do this well is Fringe somehow. Where yeah. Walter's lab was always dusty and he always threw shit together. And then when we see the Power Rangers run off to go do something and solve the problem instantly, it's the alternate universe Fringe where Walter has funding.
Yeah, like Fringe Division. But even Fringe Division did it better, because I feel like the main problem I have with how they're handling the Primeval team is that every time they encounter a difficulty or a failure, it's directly caused by their own incompetence.
Yeah.
Right? Like, especially this episode, like the main problems they encounter are caused by them. Danny bringing fucking Helen Cutter into this is entirely his own fucking fault. Fucking Connor starts the stampede. Like, everything that goes wrong in this situation is directly caused by Primeval team. If they were being fucked over just because of the circumstances, and they were like actually reacting to that or trying to like, it just makes me feel bad about them. Like, they should not be the ones doing this. Like, I don't see why they're the experts, because they keep fucking up.
This episode and partially the season, and it could have been, it feels like it was written by a staff who were told plot points but had never seen an episode. Because there's stuff that, like, I get you have to evolve the show, but there's stuff here that seriously kind of, in my mind, contradicts a lot of established or hinted at stuff. Just like all the future tech now, like, oh, Helen has a holographic disguise kit. God. She has this futuristic thing that can create anomalies out of thin air. But humanity was destroyed by fucking bat lions.
When Helen created the fucking anomaly, I straight up like went, what the fuck?
It's not a good look for what is going, like what's going to happen for the rest of.
Yeah.
Like, also, at that point, like, what are the stakes? Like, what are the stakes of this show now?
Yeah. This episode is a bad episode. There's some guys who are doing a stag party by doing like some four wheeling, and so they capture one of their friends, put a stripper bra on him, take all his clothes except for his boxers, and then tie him to a tree in the middle of the woods and just leave him there.
Oh, yeah, because it's his stag do, and they're being funny about it. Yeah.
Also, if it is his stag do, then he's just a shitty guy because he flirts with Abby a fair amount.
He does. I thought that was weird and fucked up.
Like, at the end, he's hitting on her a little bit. And I'm like, but if this is your stag weekend,
you're getting married soon. Like, what are you doing? So this is what you want us to do for your bachelor party, right?
Yeah, 100%. You don't have to tie me to the tree. I'll put the bra on myself.
Cool.
I have a few to pick from.
Do you want us, before you put the bra on, do you want us to like rub your nipples a little bit too?
Oh, yeah. They got to be rock hard.
Of course.
Of course.
Got to make the troops stand at attention if you. and then a past rhino is in the woods. It looks exactly like a rhino, except the horn is flatter and bigger and comes to like a that's about it. And he runs into a tent and oh look, there's a calf that's trapped in the plot of the episode is that a calf is trapped underneath a foosball table and no one goes to move the foosball table.
Yup. That's
God. All that man had to do was like help the calf out and it would run back and then he can leave. And we don't need to talk to him anymore. He doesn't need to barricade the calf with like a bunch of tables and shit. Like he builds a wall between him and a rhino calf. Like I don't understand the logic here, my man.
I mean, his logic is flawless.
But yeah, the future woman gets interrogated by the military, where it's like, you know about the future predators, you know all this shit, and she's like, I don't. And then Danny has broken in and is listening and gets spotted immediately somehow, some way. And just so the future woman had this weird like crystal future device And the military woman, Lester's real-life wife, puts it on the table. Sorry, Lester's real-life ex-wife puts it on the table, and then Danny's break-in is discovered, and she's like...
Sorry, just to confirm, by Lester's real-life ex-wife, you mean the actor's real-life ex-wife?
Yes.
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 She's like, oh, get her back to her room, and the guard conveniently looks away. The future Helen grabs the device, not at all stealthily shoves it in her pocket, and no one does anything. Like, I just don't... That bothered me so much, and I don't know why. But yeah, the Danny eventually breaks her out of the military base because, hey, at least it's not just the Ark with really shitty, we don't have a lockdown that locks the doors.
Yep, but it's, yeah. it's not just the Ark, I guess. It's all the buildings. Yeah.
But hey, insane. The Ark is now rushing to respond to the Rhino thing. Danny will show up much, much later in this episode with the future woman. And by much later, I mean like 10 minutes before the end.
10 minutes before they like solve that. There is still an entire second part of the episode.
But yeah, there's a massive herd of Rhino creatures, and the gang's got to figure out how to get them all back into the anomaly.
I don't know.
Struggling to find the want.
I was struggling, like, this episode, so if I were to distill down, I think the other reason why I typically pissed off with this episode was just going, like, they've really went the formulaic route. Like, we have Connor's one cool saying, which happens every episode, running away from an anomaly, screaming, Abby! Just at the top of his voice. That happens in, like, every episode. Simultaneously, we have Abby's one cool action that she does in every episode, which is saving a dinosaur from getting killed by others, or, like, trying to, like, help out one of the anomalies. Do that.
Sarah does something helpful but outside of her job description.
Yep.
In which cool. This case, it's the Chris Pratt settle hand? Excuse me?
That's fine. This came first.
Did Jurassic World steal from Primeval?
Yes. Obviously.
Oh, no.
Also,
did you guys not see her being like the, whoa, settle down, and put out the hand and not go, holy shit?
I was just upset about other things. Like, legitimately, while that scene was happening was while I was thinking about this, Charlie. And then we also have Danny Quinn, who does something that is going to work out and be, like, generally, like, oh, this is going to be beneficial for them, but is stupid and not something that Lester would want to know about. And that's what happens. Because we have to have Danny Quinn be the bad boy.
He punched so many people in the face.
Yes!
And then walks back into the Ark, where they know he works!
Just literal...
And then brought literal, the woman he stole from them!
Literal crimes. Just literal, unapologetic crimes.
You're a cop! You should know that you don't go to
There's
known
no
places!
No way he's still a cop, right? Like, they
you
have to...
You were a cop! Bonkers to me.
Well, that explains why he feels like he owns the place.
That he walked in and they had a warrant for his arrest because he broke into a military facility, assaulted military personnel, and absconded with a person of interest. And then went to his place of work like nothing happened.
It's fine. This is normal and expected behavior. It's the military. They have to hide things. They'd never come after him.
Oh,
also,
yes,
how did also, her warrant also include the fact that they get the artifact? How is that in any way related?
That's insane. That's absolutely insane.
She called the minister a babbling idiot with the IQ of a vegetable, and he's still doing her favors?
She's got to be fighting the minister at this point.
Absolutely. The meeting that she was having earlier with the minister was absolutely
just sex.
100%.
Or she just has real good blackmail.
Yes, it was sex. It does not need to be. Anyways, Let's just move past dinosaurs. The fake Helen, who I think
let's
is going by Eve.
Let's just move past dinosaurs, so we're not doing the show anymore. What?
Yeah, we're moving to part two of the show, which is Helen versus the military. Choose your side, folks. Are you on Helen's side or the military's side? That's right. There's no third side.
God.
Yeah. The dinosaurs are gonna get sent back from like the stampede because Eve makes the device work and it opens up, and worrying because that technology exists. Very concerning. But that's sorry. That's fine. That's normal.
Sorry, I'm reading the other episode titles. So Herd Logic spelled H-E-R-D in North America, Eve in German, and La Revanche de Helen Cutter, or Helen Cutter's Revenge in France.
They're kind of spoiling the twist there, France.
France did so. Okay, it took me a second. I'm gonna be real. It took me a second with Eve in the last episode. I was fairly convinced until they like did the like weird zoom in, because they're also doing like the shaky camera zoom in that like Firefly did and like was like a classic like old sci-fi thing. They did that zoom in on Eve, and before they'd done that zoom in, I'm just watching the military like just march someone away. I'm like, oh, they found Helen in the future. And apparently, I was just right with that initial guess, even though I just...
I straight up, when they were doing the reveal, and she was just like, you're Helen, and she was still the other actress before like the fucking thing was revealed, I just straight up thought that they couldn't get the actress back.
This was a weird I'm not going to lie.
And I was
I'm
just
not
like,
gonna lie.
Man, no one wants to do Primeval anymore.
I'm not going to lie. I was also sort of thinking that, David, that they'd found quote-unquote younger Helen.
Yeah. Like, I straight up thought it'd be like, yeah, I sent my memories back to my younger self or some like, nonsense, because they couldn't get the actress back.
Like, once they did the face shimmer, sure, it's very clear. But before then, when it was very clear that she was not there to help them, like when she just stole a gun, it's like, oh, cool, this is someone bad. Who do we know that's bad that's not the military? It's Helen. I guess this is Helen or a Helen crony. Cool.
I think that'd be so much funnier. I can't believe
it. It would have been good.
Just so worrying as well, though. She also didn't want to be in this.
Okay, so apparently there was an interactive web series called Primeval Evolved that ran in tandem with the show, and Eve, like Helen's disguise, has been a plot point in that since week. Where you play an intern at the Ark, and this woman, Eve, has contacted you, and you have to do tasks for her.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Sick.
Is there a way to get a version of this for
us? No, it is no longer available.
We tried to play that Merlin game.
Oh, man.
We really, really so tried. They never emailed
me
back.
We did play a Merlin game.
We did.
Oh yeah, audience.
Never forget.
Check out the world's fastest speed run of Merlin: A Tale of Two Servants for DS.
Even better,
on our YouTube
blind
channel.
Speed run. We did a blind speed run. Everyone, it was great.
Check it out.
It was hard.
The only thing that was hard about that was the fucking pick up sticks game, dude.
You shut your fucking mouth until you try it.
That pickup
the day you're allowed
beautiful.
To chirp me is the day you finish that game.
Listen, my name is on the world record. Thank you very much.
David did just steal the world record from you.
Oh, if you watch the tape, I'm driving. It's fine.
You'd never know. It was
audience,
David all
speaking
along.
Speaking of us playing games, Charlie and I did stream another session of Borderlands last weekend.
We did half the game.
The VOD Holy for that shit. Will be going up. We did not hit a brick wall, like, at all.
We're just really good at Borderlands 2.
Apparently. Which is crazy, because playing Borderlands 1, the third quest, we were like, fuck.
We jumped on a rock, shooting a dude, and taking turns to run to the vending machines to heal and refill ammo for an hour. Oh, I'm so upset that wasn't recorded. I'm so upset that was just us. But yeah, Borderlands 2 so far has been an actual breeze.
And fun. Man, I forgot what a good game Borderlands 2 is.
If you're free, I have like 5 hours free.
Oh, tomorrow? I'm doing the desk build.
Can you get that done before 12 o'clock?
Probably not, because I'm going to pick it up at like 2.
You're a...
I don't know what to tell you about this. I'm also getting help from Potato. He's coming over.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Get him to bring his laptop and he can join us mid-run.
As a level 1. We don't want him.
Yeah, it's been really actually fun. And a lot of that episode was just us reminiscing and being upset at all the fun side quests we're not going to get to do.
Yeah. But moving on to something that wasn't quite as fun. Where are we in the episode?
The rest of this episode?
So they're back at the Ark. Well, hold on. They started a stampede because they couldn't get all the rhinos through the portal before the anomaly closed. Connor fucks up. Also, Connor steals somebody's four-wheeler to, like, lure the bull rhino away. And the entire time he's driving, he is wildly jerking his hands left and right on the steering wheel. And the car is going completely straight. And
it's not actually moving.
Yeah, it's the worst fake driving I've seen in a very long time. And it's something I always watch for in movies. Like, if someone's driving a car and it's very clearly, like, rear projection or green screen, I always see, like, do you know how to mime driving? Or are you very bad at remembering what it is to drive?
Maybe the actor just doesn't know how to drive.
Or you haven't had to drive. Yeah. Have you not had to drive in a while?
Yeah. But yeah, then Eve, because Danny brought Eve to the anomaly site, I guess, and then just left her in a trough. And she rummages through his stuff, but that doesn't go anywhere. I really thought, is that where she steals the gun? Does she steal the gun from? Danny leave this woman in a car with a loaded weapon?
No, she just steals a gun off a guard as they're going to the car.
Then why was she looking through his shit? What was the point of that scene?
Just because.
But then, oh look, it turns out the device she had can open anomalies. Okay, and so they send them through, and then they go back to the Ark, and then Danny is confronted with an arrest warrant, and puts his hand over a window so that one specific viewpoint can't see Eve in the concourse below looking at the artifact. And he thinks, yep, I'll get away with this. And then everyone immediately looks out the window and goes, oh, you brought the woman you stole from the military here.
She's literally right there. And Danny looks down and is like, fuck, right. I see what I see and they see what they see. Damn it, Danny.
Why we've talked like about this. Everyone perceives the same things.
Stupid.
Object permanence, Danny. Damn it. I thought I made her disappear.
But then Eve tries to steal the artifact. But then Abby tries to stop her. But then, oh no, she pulls a gun on the military woman, Lester's real life ex-wife. And oh, it's Helen, because there's very advanced holographic disguise technology
in the near future. Like, remember, guys, that future isn't that far away. Those cars were not fucked up enough.
Yeah. And it, like, this is what I mean. This doesn't make sense. The cloning tech was, like, kind of pushing it. Like, okay, maybe 30 years down the line, we'll have clothing tech and fossil fuel burning vehicles. I could see that. Not holographic tech, not a crystal device that opens anomalies. It's just dumb and bad. And then, yeah, Lester, honestly, with all the guns trained on her, just one person has to take a shot. Just do it. You're stopping a terrorist.
Sometimes you just stop the terrorist.
She blew up a government facility. She is literally a terrorist. But no, they let her get away. And then... stuff happens. What happens?
I was
cutting
up
cheese and broccoli stuffed chicken breast for a wrap for dinner.
They let her get away.
And then she goes on a weird rant.
She drives to the military.
She goes on a fucking rant about how, like, the fucking military woman is the cause of everything. But, like, don't worry, this won't be happening now. And then she doesn't shoot her for some reason.
Yeah. Instead, she's like, you're coming through the anomaly with me. And they go through the future anomaly. It closes. The team gets there just after it closes. And it's like, no. And then it's okay, though. She's back.
Oh, but then a future predator kills her.
We don't know that she's dead.
How does she crawl through the anomaly just to get caught immediately? I don't understand.
Nope. Christine's probably dead.
She's dead.
And that's the end of the episode, folks.
This is literally her last appearance. So Helen goes, it all starts with you. And then you die, so... okay? Or is, like, Helen doing tiny things to the timeline so that the future... that nasty future gets procedurally pushed back.
It's fucking terrible and stupid is what it is.
Yes.
Oh, we don't see Sid and Nancy after?
Also, because I wanted to see if the next episode was the last episode of the... and it is. So that was probably part of why in Germany is second last. One of the things that I just very briefly noticed, they had the title, because we've loved doing the title, they had the title in North America, and they had the title for Germany. They didn't have a French title.
Oh, for 310? Yeah.
For 310. French title.
They weren't allowed to name it after spoiling this episode.
The French title is just what happens.
It's a full plot summary. All right. That brings us to the end of the episode. What are our ratings? What do we thought about this?
David, you're giving it a 0.
I'm giving it a -1.
Okay.
Good. fuck your system.
1.5. I don't want to break things.
I genuinely have to agree with David. I think this is a -1.
Oh, no. Nick, I don't want to give it a 2 so that we're at a 0.
Are you giving it a 1.5? 1.0.
I'm gonna give it a 1.5. Fuck this episode.
That makes a brand new record. An average rating of -0.166. Beating, I think, our previous record of
0.833. Oh, wow.
Is this the worst rating we give ever?
No, I think
no, because we're gonna watch a Canadian TV show next. We're transitioning to a Law and Order podcast after this.
They could get 5 seasons out before we finish Primeval. It's possible.
It's gonna be difficult.
Yeah. What do you guys think the IMDb?
That's gonna be like a 7.8.
What?
What do you think the episode rating on IMDb
mid
is?
8.
No, it is a 7.5.
Really?
The same rating that the season premiere got. And it was 4.97. So they lost like about 0.15 million viewers. Yeah.
For how bad this episode is, impressive that they were able to retain that much of. Just remember, audience, this TV show, like, yes, it was British, so, like, the British didn't watch it, but this came out at the same time as Fringe. Some people were watching this instead.
Some people were watching this instead of New Who.
Yeah. Some people were watching this instead of, like, Breaking Bad, I think.
Yep.
You're acting like people can only watch one TV show at a time.
People can only watch one TV show at a time, like we do,
exactly.
Charlie. We don't watch anything else while waiting to record this podcast. Except Law and Order Toronto Criminal Intent.
Except Law and Order Toronto.
There's only 2 TV shows that David is allowed to watch.
Great, I think.
Oh, man. All right, I think that brings us to the end of that. I wonder, who could have an outro for us?
Who could be on outro duty?
Thanks so much for coming to listen to another episode of 4 Seasons and a Funeral. The show where we have 4 seasons and a 5th season. If you liked what you listened to, feel free to give us a like or a 5-star rating on your podcast on your podcasting service of choice. Thank you as well for the 143 downloads in the past 2 weeks. What the fuck is Jesus happening?
Christ. Jesus Christ.
I just don't understand. Are you Primeval fans? I'm sorry we shat so hard on this episode, but man, did I not like it. Hey, come fight me through email at Forsaf. At forsaf@gmail.com, forsaaf, or on the hell site that is X. I'll fucking get banned on Elon's website fighting you in Twitter replies. Fucking come at me, bro. Or, you know, write us a nice review. We'll never see it because I don't check those. I guess I should, but whatever. Yeah, until next time, where I will be doing the outro next week again, Forsaf. Outro. Our intro and outro music is Dream One by Magenta 6. Licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.